Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to one passage of Scripture found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And while you're turning there, let me ask you a question. Is there any root of bitterness in your heart or life this morning? This morning, we're going to be looking at and dealing with the root of bitterness. Because the truth about it is, bitterness has a tremendous, devastating effect on our lives when we're conscious or even when we're not conscious of it. There's one verse in the book of Hebrews I want you to look at because our Heavenly Father loves us. He wants only His best for our life, but He knows that one of the things that assassinates our life and the joy that we can have in life is this absolute reality of bitterness in our soul. And so in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, I want you to look at verse 15, and I want you to listen to it very carefully. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. In other words, Jesus is saying there is one thing that you and I need to do very seriously when it comes to this issue of bitterness. We need to be very aggressive and we need to be very obedient when it comes to this issue of bitterness. You know, whenever the Lord God allowed the writer of Hebrews to pen this, and he penned it through the Hebrew writer, he made it abundantly clear that there is an overwhelming reality in our lives if we're not careful to allow bitterness over some event or something in the past to devastate our lives. And when you look at the very word bitterness, it's very interesting what it means because it literally means to cut. And it also involves, the implication is a bitter taste. In other words, what happens in our lives, somebody cuts at us, says something to us, and it creates a bitter taste in our life, and then the snowball begins to take hold, and on and on and on the things happen in our life, and so many things happen that are just simply a byproduct of bitterness. Why in the world should you and I be concerned with this one area when it comes to forgiveness and dealing with bitterness? And here's the reality. Bitterness has never made a single person's life better. As a matter of fact, whenever you look at a person who is bitter, you'll never find bitterness a part of a happy home. As a matter of fact, bitterness can seemingly turn a very meek, humble, mild person into someone that has seething anger and rage and hostility in his or her life. And so this morning we're going to be looking at dealing with the root of bitterness because only the Lord knows where all of us have lived our lives. There may be even things in your life that you've completely forgotten about. But you look at your life and there's no trust in other individuals. You're not happy in your life. You live in insecurity and your family, they can't please you. Nobody around you can make you happy. Could it be that it's all because of a root of bitterness in your life? So I want you to follow along in your outline because the truth about it is God makes it very clear in another translation. He literally says, see to it. In other words, you and I have been given a directive by Holy God that we make it our business to see to it no root or not even a sprout of bitterness comes into our life because here's the reality of your life. I don't care who you are, what your name is, or how much you may have, bitterness will destroy you. It will destroy your life. It will destroy your relationships. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your effectiveness on your children, on your grandchildren, or whoever those are that are around you. So I want you to follow along because God makes it very clear. And if we're going to enjoy the forgiveness of God, one of the things that you and I have to face up to is this sober reality that we can be bitter. As a matter of fact, bitterness doesn't take a long time to come into our life. It can just be one event. And so follow along with me because the Bible makes it very clear that we're to deal with bitterness without any exceptions. In other words, when you were saved, if you're a child of God, saved by the grace of God, you gave up your rights when you became a Christian. Jesus Christ came to live on the inside of you. As a matter of fact, we gave up the right to hold ill will and to hold anger and to hold resentment. You say, well, you know, that should be so, but you know what? I'm going to hold ill will. Well, listen to me real carefully. If you claim to be a child of God, His nature lives on the inside of you if you're a Christian. Amen? That means that you have no God-given right to ever be bitter, to ever be angry, to ever be hostile at other people. You say, well, you just don't know what's done to me. And you see, the truth about it is we all time justified and we rationalize because we think we have a right to harbor bitter. We have a right to withhold forgiveness and to withhold love and affection because somebody has stabbed you in the back. Somebody has muddied your name, so to speak. Or somebody has gotten the job that you was promised. Somebody has got that career and they walked into it when you was promised some time ago. Or maybe in the home situation, maybe one child is given more attention than another child. And maybe that was the case in your life growing up. Nobody, mom and dad didn't recognize you. It was always the other children. And we can literally rationalize away all of the reasons why we should withhold love and affection and forgiveness from some people. But here's the reality. God loves you more than you can dare imagine, think, or comprehend. And He makes it clear that you and I are to deal with the very root of bitterness. And you see, here's what we do. We say, well, you know, I have a right to be bitter. Well, what right do you have to be bitter? Well, you don't realize that job was promised to me 10 years ago, or that was promised to me, and I've been depending upon that. I have a very dear friend who was promised something, and it absolutely has devastated his life and has affected his wife in a very difficult way because he was promised something. And it was a career, and he's a godly man, and he's really had to back up and reevaluate. And every one of us had to be very careful because here's what we do. We live in this human body, and we easily rationalize away why we can get bitter, and we can do it in just a heartbeat. Let me give you an example. I'm going to walk you into a page of my personal life for a moment because I know I can trust every one of you with confidence. Just the other day, Charlotte and I was going home, and we was out about David's Steakhouse, and he did it. He missed me by about 2.5 inches. I was plugging right along. There's a car right in front of me, and he just whipped right over right in front of me. And Charlotte was wanting to have a spiritual experience with him because she said, if I could just lay hands on him. He honestly missed me by about 2.5 inches. But let me tell you what happened to me. I eyed him. And I noticed there was some feeling starting to well up inside of me because he could have hit me. I mean, it's the closest I've come in a long time to an accident. And Charlotte was wanting to talk to him, and we just wanted to have a prayer meeting with him. But going down the road, I noticed something kept happening on the inside of me. I kept eyeing him. And just like that, I thought, Lord, You deal with this right this minute. And see, listen, it don't have to be a big event. It can be something so insignificant, and all of a sudden you start eyeing somebody, you start having some feelings on the inside of you that you know they're not right. And the Lord and I had to talk about this thing on the way home, and I didn't tell Charlotte because it was a private prayer meeting between the Father and myself. But listen, it was just a single event. It seemed to have no significance. But I can tell you what color that car was. I almost got the license plate memorized, but he weaved a little bit and I didn't get that. But I saw what type of, and you see, here's what happened. Bitterness has a way of absolutely changing our lives in a moment. You had an event happen to you in your childhood and your parent did something to you and you became bitter. You had something happen to you at school and you became bitter. And the thing about it is every single day of your life, that bitterness has a hold of your life. And it does not let go. Maybe it is a relationship that he just jilted you and could have cared less, and you're bitter. And you see, the truth about it is, Jesus makes it very clear, God makes it very clear, we can justify all the things that happen in our life, but the Father says, see to it. In other words, you have been given a directive by Holy God, and here's why. If you don't deal with bitterness, it will change you into something you never wanted to be. It will change you into a person that you never dreamed or thought you would be like. And you see, that's exactly what happens in your life and my life. Bitterness never has been a part of a happy home. There are some husbands and wives, and they're at each other's throats, and they can't understand, but he got bitter at one time, and she got bitter at another time, and the kids are the innocent byproduct, bystanders in it. And so God makes it very clear, you have no option. Well, you can say, well, yes, I do have an option, but I'm going to tell you this. You will never have a happy life. You will never have any joy in life. You'll never have any tranquility in life. And you see, that wasn't that big of a deal. Charlotte didn't know how irritated that man made me because he didn't care how close he came. It acted like. He didn't care how close he came to. And you see, that's exactly where you may be. You say, well, you just don't realize my mom didn't care. My dad didn't care. My mom didn't care, could have cared less how she raised me. And that may be the honest truth, but here's the reality. You have a choice of what you'll do with those events in your life. God never allows you to go through something in life to embitter you. But here's the sad reality. There's a lot of believers that are embittered. They're not enjoying themselves. They're not enjoying their family. They're not enjoying anything in life. And they're trying to get as much as they can because they're hoping somehow money will make them happy. And so first and foremost, God gives you and me a directive. Because we're to deal with bitterness because of the things that it does in our lives. Think about it for a moment. Just consider just a few of the effects of bitterness in our lives. Look at number two. Scripture makes it very clear. When you look in Hebrews, bitterness causes trouble. But, you know, when you think about bitterness, it operates when you're even unconscious. Let me give you an example. Bitterness is like an engine that's running in your life right now. Something happened back there 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, but bitterness is an engine that's running on the inside of you. It is running whether you're awake or asleep. It's running whether you're conscious, alert, or not conscious and asleep. And it's just that bitterness. You're sitting here this morning and you think about that person who embittered you some years ago, and it's still running. And you see, the reality of it is, bitterness is never positive, and the thing about it does is it affects us physically. You know, medical science is linking all sorts of things in our life to bitterness, to resentment. I heard of a couple who, she had some disease, and she went to the doctor. The doctor said, I just want to tell you that I'm doing a study, because he was a very aggressive doctor, and he said, I'm doing a study between this type of disease that you've got and negative emotions. And that's what the doctor said. And the doctor talked to this precious lady, mother, said, I just want to ask you. And he tried to see if there was any negative emotions and said, no, there's no negative emotions. And then one day she just spilled it out. All the bitterness and the rage and the anger and the hostility and the madness that was in her soul over one event in her life. And he gave her a challenge to do something. This was a doctor, mind you. And it wasn't long that her disease just dissipated and became less and less and less and less. Now, I'm not saying that can happen in every situation, but here's the reality. It does affect you. You can't sleep in peace when you're bitter because in your dream world, you're thinking about that person who's done you wrong. It may not happen every day, but it does happen. You're thinking about that person who's done you wrong when you're watching TV. You're thinking about that person who's hurt you, devastated you. And you see, God knows far better than you and I do that the root of bitterness has all these little sprouts. It's insecurity. You have this insecurity issue. You can't trust anybody. Why can't you trust? It's not because they're not worthy of trust. It's because something has happened that has embittered you. And you look at your life and you think you're in a wreck. You're a wreck physically. You know, you go to the doctor and he says, you're going to have another pill for your blood pressure. You're going to have this pill for this and this pill for this. And you're a physical wreck. Why? Because possibly you look back there some time ago and there was something that festered in your life and it is a poison draining you of energy. Bitterness drains you every single solitary day that you live and breathe. It absolutely devastates you. You're having a calm day, and all of a sudden, you just explode. And finally, your family don't know how to take you. Your friends don't know how to take you. They're just afraid you're going to explode. because they don't know what you know. They don't know that back there 53 years ago or 23 years ago, there was an event that embittered you, and you can never forget that single solitary event. And sadly, it's not many events. Most of the time, it's some single event we can go back and we can remember. You see, bitterness never lives in isolation. Think about it for a moment. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:15, the word defile found in Hebrew literally means to stain. When we have bitterness, we stain relationships. Here's a couple, they get married at 25. And at 55, you know, they love one another, careful, but something embitters him. And all of a sudden, she don't know what to do. Let me just give you an example to tell you how bitterness stains. Precious young couple, I won't share the names. They was planning on a life and a marriage and to have the life that God wanted them to have. And they were well on their way. She became pregnant with a boy, and she was so tickled. And she was hoping that maybe she'd get pregnant again, and she'd have a girl this time. She did become pregnant. She did have a child. But you know what she did? She wanted a boy. She was so bitter and so angry and so mad. But she didn't say anything outside. But one week, her husband took off from work, and this was down the road, maybe a few years. And as he took off, he noticed that her firstborn could do no wrong. But the last one, she was always on to him. She had two boys. And her husband noticed it so much, he said, "Honey, let's go to counseling." They went for counseling, but she didn't really open up. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. What really just started off as something that could have been dealt with easily in a time of prayer before the Father, she became embittered with her second son, which really led her to become embittered toward her husband. And then she became embittered toward her other son, the one she even loved. And after a while, it was just over. The bitterness led to a sad and a disheartening divorce, to the point that she even gave custody of both of the boys to the dad, all because of a root of bitterness. You see, the reality of it is, some of you, because I know the way bitterness works, it wasn't seemingly that bad of an incident, but it absolutely has saturated. It has gone so deep. It has stained relationships. And you can't enjoy your family. You're sitting here this morning, and you say, "Well, that message is not for me." It may not be directed at you. You may deal with it, but it could, again, it could. Because here's the reality. It stains you. You cannot enjoy anything. And so, you know, that's why the Lord says, see to it. In other words, make sure. Because it paralyzes our lives. Listen, it paralyzed this mother who all she had to do was get on her knees and say, "Father, forgive me of my bitterness. Thank you for this precious little boy that you've gave me." But no, she was embittered because the little boy was not a little girl. You may be bitter about something like that. But the reality of it is, bitterness will paralyze you, and there is no mistake. You can't change that. You look at the life of King Saul, and you know, his is one where he became embittered. He became embittered toward his own son. He became embittered toward Saul. And you know what we do? We just go through life. It's not going to affect me. Here's what happens. We act sometimes so haughty and so high and mighty that, well, you know what? That's a good word for somebody. And all of a sudden, somebody does something in your life, and you become embittered. Listen, I don't have to be around somebody very long to tell you they're bitter. Why? Because they give off. There's a stain they give off. They don't speak positively of family. They don't speak positively of life. I'll tell you, this is just a bad life, just a horrible life. And those are the people who say, "I don't know why anybody don't ever come around me. I don't know why people don't come around me and fellowship with me. And nobody wants to have anything to do with me." You know what they don't want to have anything to do with? They don't want to have anything to do with the stain, the stench, the odor of bitterness. And that's exactly, listen, it doesn't matter who you are. I know preachers that are bitter. They're bitter because of something that happened in the church. They're bitter because somebody got upset at them about something. It doesn't matter who you are. Bitterness absolutely devastates your life. And you see, the thing about it is, we affect our family, we affect our church, we affect everybody. And sadly, we don't even believe this works. When you get real bitter, you just don't even think the Bible works. You know, when you become bitter, nothing is going to happen good, because that's just the way you come to believe. Well, how in the world can you deal with bitterness? If you and I are going to deal with bitterness and experience the freedom from bitterness, we have to understand we always are going to live in this human body. We're flawed, we're fallen, we're just simple human beings. But here's the reality. If you're a child of God, saved by the grace of God, He lives on the inside of you. Amen? Now, if you're a child of God, going to heaven when you die, you have been given the nature of Jesus Christ. So I want you to follow along very carefully in point number 3, because I want to deal with you, and I pray the Spirit of God will take you back here over and over and over again, and you'll hang on to this outline because it will set you free, because it's His word, not mine. It's His truth, and that's the only truth that lasts. So first and foremost, we have the capacity to forgive anyone of anything they've done because we have the nature of Christ. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. You have the capacity to forgive anyone of anything if you're a child of God. Amen? You have the nature of Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. Who is it Jesus didn't forgive? Who is it that He would not forgive? He forgave everyone. You need to realize that you're a child of God. Bitterness cannot dictate your future. An event cannot dictate. Listen, we cannot do anything about it. I can tell you this. If I hadn't had a prayer meeting on the way home, now I didn't close my eyes or bow my head because I was, you know, on the interstate, and I don't believe it's wise to do that. But I did have a prayer meeting. And I said, Father, I'm having some feelings, some emotions right now, and I ask You to get them out of my heart in Jesus' name, amen. Now, listen, you are a child of God. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have His nature. There is not a single thing that has ever happened to you that has a right to embitter you. You have allowed it to embitter you, but there's absolutely no God-given right. It doesn't matter if your parents threw you away. And I've talked to some who have had their parents throw them away. There is nothing in heaven, earth, or below the earth that can absolutely keep you from becoming, to rob you from genuine peace if you deal with it. Because you see, here's what we don't want to do. We don't want to deal with it. Second of all, because we're children of God, it is out of character for us to have unforgiveness and allow bitterness to take root. It is not in character with you. If you're a child of God and you say, well, you know what? I'm mad at so-and-so 15 years ago. Well, you're acting out of character of who you are as a child of God. Because a child of God, a man of God, a woman of God, does not withhold forgiveness. Listen, I want you to say this very carefully. I want to say this very carefully and very lovingly. But here's one of the things the Father has taught me about forgiveness. Forgiveness sets you free. The other person is still on the hook of God. In other words, if they belittled you, demeaned you, degraded you, and did something to you, they're still on the hook of God. And you see, forgiving others is a choice. If you become bitter over something that happened to you, then you've got to make a decision. I had to make a decision not to deal with that man who missed me by about 2.5 inches, or at least that's my perception. Or I could have just gone on down the road, fussed and fumed and fumed and fussed and fussed and fumed some more. And I would have been all out of sorts by the time I got home. Charlotte probably would ask me, what do you want for supper? I don't know. You know why? Now I want you to listen to me real carefully. It's a serious issue. Because probably half Christians in the world are living with bitterness in their life. Listen to them. They're not happy. They're not joyful. They're sad. They mope around. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus Christ die on the cross so you and I could mope around and not have the life he wanted us to have? Absolutely not. Does he know we're going to live in this fallen world? Sure he does. But he's given you the authority to forgive anyone that's hurt you. And then, fifth, dealing with bitterness involves dealing with the root. What we do a lot of times is just symptomatic. In other words, we don't want to go back there and deal with the honest root of it. We don't want to go back there and deal with a parent that threw us away. We don't want to own up to that. We don't want to say, Father, I'm so mad at my mom because she threw me away. Now, she didn't literally pick you up, but she ignored you. She could have cared less for your life. And in your heart, soul, and spirit, that's the same thing as throwing you away. You see, that's not real easy to do. It's not real easy to go back and name her name to the Lord. Father, I have been bitter at my brother, sister, mom, dad, whoever it is, over. And you see, that's why we live with bitterness. We just don't want to deal with the hurt. We don't want to go back there. But I'm here to tell you, if you will pay the price as a man or a woman and do it, you will find a freedom that is beyond human description and explanation. You may be one that's never had to face that because you've had a wonderful childhood growing up and you've never been. That's wonderful. But for every one that has, there's probably three or four that have things that have embittered them. And sixth, ask God to forgive you of your bitterness. Now, I see why God allowed that man to pull out in front of me. Because whenever I started studying this and started, Lord just brought him back to my mind. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to tell that story. That's too personal. He said, tell it. Because guess what? It doesn't matter how old you are. Or how much you read the Word of God, how much you go to church. See, the devil wants you to think, well, you're a Christian and, you know, you don't get bitter. You're above that. That is a lie straight out of hell. Because you're going to live in this human body till the day you breathe your last breath. And you see, when you are willing to ask the Father to forgive you of your bitterness, you don't have to, but I'm here to tell you, it will haunt you till your death. Do you want bitterness to haunt you? Do you want to be bitter? Do you want your family to disassociate? And I know dads and I know moms both, who their children have basically disassociated with them. Now, they'll talk about their kids. I don't know why they don't come around. But there's a real simple reason. When you have the stain of bitterness in your life, other people just try to find reason to dodge you. And seventh, accept total responsibility and accountability. Now, I could stand here and tell you that that man should not have pulled over in front of me. You know, in an ideal world, everybody drives the necessary car length behind, and they stop at all the caution lights. And you let the person, you know, I mean, that's the ideal world. Well, we're not there yet. We ain't going to be there for a while. Now listen. You decide if you'll own those things that have been bitter in your life. King Saul wouldn't do it. You remember King Saul, the Lord ripped the throne from him and because he disobeyed God. And that probably made him angry. And God gave the throne to someone else. That probably made him more angry. Saul never did take accountability for his life. Watch what happened. He tried to kill his own flesh and blood. He tried to kill David. He verbal javelin after verbal javelin after verbal javelin at his children. And he ended up in life committing suicide. There's some, and I don't want to say the reasons, but there's some explanations why some people take their life. They become so embittered at people who have hurt them, they won't deal with it, and they finally, their only coping mechanism is I've just got to get rid of me. That's my only cope. Friend, that is not the only way to cope. Thank God. Amen. Listen, Jesus said, I came that you could have abundant life. That you could have it, have life and have it abundantly. And you know, whenever you learn to deal with things, it's like some things are just not an issue. Those small things stay small things. They don't embitter you. And you see, the truth about it is, if you don't allow yourself to deal with that that has embittered you, I can't tell you what will happen to your future completely, but I can tell you this, it will not be good. Hospitalization, heart attack, disease some type, because these bodies cannot function very long with bitterness. They can't. And you see, the thing about it is, when you choose to look at those things of bitterness that happened in your life, maybe it is a mom that threw you away, a dad that threw you away, or a parent that didn't care about you, or a brother that didn't care about you. You know what happens? When you look at them right and wisely, God even uses those tools, those bad events, to grow you and to develop you. You remember Joseph in Genesis chapter 50. He's finally on the throne in Egypt. His brothers have come into him. They threw him away. And here's what Joseph said. What you meant evil to destroy me. But what you meant for evil, God took it for good. Now, the issue is, are you going to allow what Satan meant to destroy you, God to use it for good? Are you going to allow yourself to say, Lord, I'm not going to lie to myself any longer. I'm not going to deceive myself any longer. I own up to the fact I am bitter. You don't have to do it right here. You don't have to do it right now. The wise thing is that you just do it. It may be so deep and so dark that you need to deal with it at home, but here's the reality. When you will get on your knees and you say, Lord, I am bitter over my mom. I am bitter over my dad. I'm bitter over my brothers. I'm bitter about where I was raised. I'm bitter about the name of the place that I was raised. I'm bitter about this or I'm bitter about that. As a boy growing up, I look back and I didn't get bitter about it, but I didn't really like it either. When you're raised on No Town, that's not a good name for a town, but anyway. But here's the point. Anything can get you bitter. You get one life. What type of life do you want to live? And you see, here's what the Father says. You're going to have radical surgery, but I promise you, it will always make you better. And you know what? He's exactly right. You allow him to do surgery in your spirit about those that harmed you and did you wrong, and I can promise you on the authority of Scripture, you'll be thankful to God that you did it. You'll be thankful to the Lord that you dealt with that root of bitterness. Because you see, until you do, you're going to distrust, you're going to be insecure, you're going to be volatile, you're going to be negative, you're going to be this, all sorts of things. Why? Simply because the sprouts of bitterness take root and they grow ever so fast. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And Father, you know that we live in a wicked world. And there's 1,000 things that can make us bitter. There's 1,000 situations in life that can cause us to get angry and bitter. Father, through you, and when we are willing to own up to it, you have a supernatural way of pulling the trash of bitterness out of our soul and leading us to a life of freedom and joy that's beyond human description. Father, I pray for those here this morning who have a root of bitterness. Maybe it was when they were 7 or 8 years old, but that engine is running. That engine of bitterness is going to keep running until they deal. Whether they believe it or not, whether they think it or not, it's zapping them of deep, abiding affections and relationships. Maybe they've even secluded themselves and live in isolation. That's exactly what happens when we become bitter. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would draw. And I pray, Father, that that person here this morning who's without Jesus Christ, I pray that they would come. Lord, you said this very day is the day of salvation. Father, there's going to be a day that it's too late. There's going to come a time when this day is the day past and the life is lived and judgment is come. Father, you remind us that we need Jesus because we're all sinners in a sin-racked, sin-torn world. And Father, I pray for that person here. Lord, they can bow their heart and head right now and simply invite Christ into their heart, and you'll save them. Father, I pray for that person right now who they're at the point of being saved. And if they would pray this simple prayer, they would be saved. Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I admit I'd die without Christ and go to hell. But Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart right now to be my Lord and Savior. And Father, you remind us when we pray that prayer and mean business, you mean business with us. God, in this invitation is our prayer. In the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.